Turn in your Bibles tonight, if you would please, to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, and 1 and 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, we're going to begin reading at verse 1. 2 Chronicles 26, 1. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah. After that, the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 42 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jochelah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And he went forth and warred against the Philistines, and brake down the wall of Gath, and the wall of Jabneh, and the wall of Ashdod, and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gurbaal and the Mahanims. And the Amorites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad even to the entering in of Egypt. For he strengthened himself exceedingly. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, and at the valley gate, and at the turning of the wall, and fortified them. As he built towers in the desert and digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains, husbandmen also, and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. Moreover, Uzziah had an host of fighting men that went out to war by bands, according to the number of their account, by the hand of Jael, the scribe, and Maaseiah, the ruler, under the hand of Hanani, one of the king's captains. The whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor were 2,600. And under their hand was an army, 300,000, 7,500, that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields, spears, helmets, habergons, and bows, and slings to cast stones. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks, to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God, went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord, that were valiant men. They withstood Uzziah the king, and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was wroth, and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord, beside the incense altar. Azariah, the chief of priests, and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first and last, did Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amaz, write. So Uzziah slept with his father. They buried him with his father in the field of the burial which belonged to the kings. For they said, he is a leper, and Jotham his son reigned in his stead. One other verse, of course, is familiar with us. We just read there about Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amaz. And in Isaiah 6 and verse 1, it says, In the year that King Uzziah died, and of course this is Isaiah speaking, he said, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. The life of Uzziah. There's some things in the story of Uzziah, this kind of a clipping of what happened to Uzziah. There's some things that we need to be aware of. We need to be aware of. In verse 1, he became a king as a teenager. In verse 6, he took the strongholds of the Philistines. Verses 8 through 10, he loved husbandry. What does that mean? It means he loved farming. He loved to be a farmer. In verses 11 through 15, he had a very strong military. But I want you to notice in verse 15, at the very last part of verse 15 of 2 Chronicles 26, the last four words, till he was strong. And I want to emphasize to you that little four-letter word, till. Till. Everything was going great, till he was strong in his own eyes. And so, the till there becomes the turning point in Uzziah's life, and by the way, become a turning point in our life as well. Some people, they get strong in the Lord. God is blessing and working. Till they get to looking at themselves, thinking themselves to be good, thinking themselves to be great, thinking that themselves, they have reached that point in their life. They wouldn't say it, but it's almost like, well, I don't need God anymore. Uzziah was great, and God did great things, till. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. Bless it to our hearts tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 3 points tonight, very simple. Go ahead and give them to you, and we'll run through them quickly tonight. We want to look at the ruin, the reason, and the result. The ruin, the reason, and the result. You know, sometimes we're so busy with the externals of life that we forget about the internal part of our lives. By that I mean character. You see, character is what you ought to be on the outside, but it comes from the inside. We need to have character. We probably all know people that seem to really go great guns, seem to have things going well, and then it's like everything falls apart. Sometimes they end up in all kinds of problems and troubles, and it turns out what they were on the exterior did not match up with what they were on the interior. Character ought to be on the outside that comes from the inside. We ought to show that character, but we have to do that by starting on the inside. Character, by the way, if we're not careful, if we deal with the external, it'll never keep up. Character will not keep up with the external if we're busy building the external instead of building the internal. I think a great example of that, you find internal character manifested externally in the way they lived their life in the book of Daniel. Both Daniel and the three Hebrew children, both of those people, the Daniel and the group of three friends of Daniel, show us the externally what they were internally, because they had that character within them. And Daniel chapter 6, you can turn there if you want, but you don't need to, but Darius was the king, he was over the kingdom, and he got he had 120 princes that he put over his kingdom. They were to help rule. He didn't want to go everywhere. He just stayed as the king. He had these 120 princes come to him. And over them, he even went further. He put three men that he called presidents. And he said, I'm going to have three presidents, and then under them there would be these 120 princes. And so the prince would come to one of those presidents, whoever was over them, and so forth. And they would deal with most of the problems, and only difficult things or things that they felt that the king needed to know would they bring to him. Well, one of those presidents was Daniel. And the Bible said that over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the prince might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. In other words, everything ought to be working out real good for him because of that. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the prince. You know what happens when somebody's preferred over somebody else? Somebody gets jealous. Somebody's pride is hurt. And certainly that happened here. He said that he was preferred because an excellent spirit. What's that? That comes from the inside, doesn't it? There was an excellent spirit that was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. He was not only going to be one of the three presidents. The king's thinking about, hey, I tell you what, I'm just going to kind of make him like Joseph. I'm just going to let him take care of the whole thing. He's thinking about that. And these others are getting upset. The other two presidents, these 120 princes. So it says in verse 4 of Daniel 6, then the presidents and the prince sought to find occasion against Daniel according to the kingdom, but they could find no occasion, nothing that he had done, nor fault, anything about him. And so it said here, they should find no fault, or found no occasion found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel. See, they already knew about him, didn't they? They already knew. You know what? We're not going to find anything. You guys can keep looking if you want to, but we're just not going to find anything about this guy. What does that say about Daniel? Man, here's a man of character, isn't it? And so he says, we're not going to find an occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. They just couldn't find anything. Boy, wouldn't that be neat? Somebody checks you out and say, you know what, I can't find any error, I can't find any fault, I can't find them to said anything, done anything, no occasion that I can get against them. I doubt if any of us could stand up under that strong of scrutiny, but Daniel did. Then it said in verse 6, then these presidents and princes assembled together. Hey, we're going to have a meeting tonight, you know. They assembled together and to the king, and they said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the prince, the counselors, the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or make shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee. Only you, king, can they ask a petition for 30 days. O king, he shall be cast into the lion's den. For the next 30 days, write out and you sign it. They already had it written out. All he had to do was sign it. Said, we've got this for the next 30 days. Nobody can ask petition, can ask nothing of anybody. They have to come to you, O king. What does that get to? That gets to the king's pride. All right? And so it says here, now, O king, establish the decree, sign the writing, that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Anything signed by the king, once it's law, it could not be altered. It stood. That was the law of the land. The Bible says, wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now the problem, of course, they knew that Daniel worshipped a god that they didn't worship. And they knew that he prayed to his god, that he looked to his god. Couldn't find anything wrong with him, but we have to find something, as it said in verse 5, we find it against him concerning the law of his God. We can find something wrong with what the law of his God says. The Bible says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God. Now, if that's all that was said, it was like, Daniel, you're just egging them on. You're just trying to get at them. You're just doing this out of spite. But that's not true, because I didn't finish the verse. The verse goes on to say, as he did aforetime. That's what he had been doing. They knew that he had been doing that. They couldn't find any fault or occasion against Daniel. So we're going to have to find something against the laws of his God that may contradict the law of the Medes and the Persians. And obviously, when they had the king sign that, what happened was, now Daniel, when he prayed or he asked anything, he always asked it of his God. And 3 times a day he would go up, open the windows, pointed toward Jerusalem. He's over here in Persia. You remember they had taken them over. As a teenager, he was taken captive over to Persia. And so he opens up the windows, looking toward Jerusalem. He gets down, bows down, and he prays. And he does that morning, noon, and night. They knew about it, and that's what they set it up. Of course, you know the story. Daniel ends up in the lion's den, just as it was said, but God takes care of Daniel, brings him out. King throws all those other people in there because now he sees what they've done. And the lions will kill them. But here is an eternal character that is manifested externally in this person's life. His enemy could find nothing using wrong with Daniel externally. But what about internally? We can find something wrong with his worship of his God. It's been said you can't substitute busyness for prayer or for Bible study or for building an intimate relationship with the Lord. We can get out here and get busy doing all kinds of stuff and say, we're doing it for the Lord. That will not take place of reading your Bible, of praying, of building an intimate relationship with your God. Because sooner or later, you're building something without a foundation. And when you do that, everything's going to fall. Everything's going to crumble. make sure you build internally the character that is needed so it be manifested outwardly in your life. And so, of course, this was true of Daniel's friends, the three Hebrew children. You remember in Daniel chapter 3, they too would not bow down to the false image. And it says in Daniel 3 and verse 17, when they're talking to the king, because he wants them to bow down, they said, "If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king." I like these next three words. "But if not." Now, this is going to take some character here. You're going to get thrown into the fiery furnace. You better have inside what you're pretending to have outside. It better not be pretend. Amen? "But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Now, it didn't stop them from getting thrown into the fiery furnace. But when the king looked in, he said, "I threw three in, but I see four men, one like unto the Son of God." He said, "I see their God walking with them." And that tells us something. God might not keep us out of the fiery furnace, that is, out of the problems, the persecution we talked about this morning, those things in our life. But I'll guarantee you one thing, God will go through it all with you if you look to Him. You got to understand that internally if you're going to stand up externally in the ways of the Lord. They understood two things, these three men. They understood the power of God, and they understood the purpose of God. Many people, I think, have caused ruin in their life by trying to do something to be something. Trying to do something to be something. Can't do that. Rather than living or being something and then doing what you are. Build your life from the inside. Decide you're going to have some character. How do I get that, preacher? Know the Bible, read the Word, pray to your God, ask God to help you to live according to His Word. Build that relationship internally. It will work out externally exactly what you need to be. They were ruined because the internal did not keep up with that external. And when that happens, it's like building a building without that foundation. You know, some people believe that it's below them to do something, no matter what it is in their life. I found out the best people when it comes to work, and I've been in supervision, I've been a co-worker, all these things. I always found out that supervisor was a good supervisor if he started down there somewhere and worked his way up. You know why? Because he knows what you're doing. He understands it. By the way, he understands your problems and your difficulties. And therefore, he can be a help to you. He can explain to you. He can see what your problem is and deal with it because it's empathy. Because he's been there, he's done that, and he's willing to be a help to you. I've always looked up to somebody that has been where maybe I'm at right now. And so I have a tendency I want to listen to them more instead of some guy that learned it out of a book or thinks he knows what he's talking about, but he's never done that thing himself. So there's nothing wrong with taking the most menial job. You say, "Well, I don't know. I've had this college education. I've even had young preacher boys get out of Bible colleges and so forth, 4 years of college. So, well, yeah, but I've been through college and I've studied and I know this and that." So what? What does that mean? I found out something real quick. My first year of pastoring a church, I started a church. We didn't have anything. It was just my wife and I, our two kids. And we started the church. How do you do that? You just go out and knock on doors, hand out literature, tell them you're going to start a service on a certain Sunday. I think it was like September the 14th, 1978, I believe it was. We started a church in Jackson, Ohio, or outside of Jackson. Well, no, it was in Jackson at the time, the city of Jackson, Ohio, in a little school building, elementary school, a little gymnasium they had. That's where we started. And we started from nothing. And for the first year, I thought I was going to end up with nothing. But you know, it's amazing how God works if you're faithful. God teaches you faithfulness. And so we kept at it, and God sent this one, God sent that, God sent some people that caused problems. But then we worked through that, and then God sent others that were a blessing. And one thing led to another, and I don't know how many years later, I think maybe 3 years later, something like that, we bought 4 acres of land out on a 4-lane highway. We built a new building out there. We had a Christian school out there. We run 120 or so on Sunday. My, what God can do. But you better be willing to start with the menial task. You know where you learned that at? You remember when Jesus was having a little dinner and he walked in and nobody had washed the feet? What did he do? Grabbed a towel, wrapped it around him, got down with a bowl of water and began to wash the disciples' feet. There's nothing too menial in the work of God. There's nothing too menial to try to reach somebody for Christ that you and I should not be willing and certainly able to do. It has been said too few of us are big enough to become little enough to be used effectively by God. Can I say that again? Too few of us are big enough to become little enough to be used effectively of God. There's nothing in this church that I should not be willing to do, from the most menial task to whatever God would have us to do. 1 Samuel 15:17, God speaking to King Saul, the first king of Israel, through the prophet Samuel, said to King Saul, "When thou wast little in thine own sight, wasn't thou not made the head of the tribe of Israel?" When you were little in your own sight, God promoted you to be the king of Israel. And he's saying to him here in 1 Samuel 15, now you've blown it because you think you're bigger than God. The ruined. Uzziah kind of ruined things, didn't he? Notice with me the reason in verse 16. "But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to destruction." My, my. You get down to verse 18, he says, "And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord." It wasn't your job, King Uzziah, to burn incense in the house of the Lord, but to the priests of the sons of Aaron that are consecrated. That means they have been set apart to burn incense. "Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God." Uzziah was wroth. He didn't like what they said. He got mad about what they said. He had the pride raised up in him. Proverbs 16:18, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit," and that's exactly what we see here, "and a haughty spirit before a fall." One of the great hymn writers that we have is a man by the name of Isaac Watts. The great hymn writer Isaac Watts wrote, "When I survey the wondrous cross." You know what survey means? You're looking at it. He said, "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but lost, and pour contempt on all my pride." When I look at the cross, the only thing I can do is fall at the feet of the cross. I have nothing to look up to about what I am or what I done or any of these things. Isaac Watts, when he looked at the cross, he simply could pour contempt on all his pride. Someone said that pride is an eye disease that will blind you. When people are filled with pride, it's as if they've lost their glasses. They've lost their way. Pride seems to do that to you. We've all experienced somebody said something, done something we don't like, and the pride comes up in us. And we lash out and say something that later we wished we'd not said. Or did something that we wished that we did not do. Pride is like that disease, eye disease that blinds you. Uzziah shifted his trust in God to his trust in his accomplishments. He got to looking at himself as the king, and he forgot about what the Bible says about him. Look at verse 7 there of 2 Chronicles 26. And God helped him. See that? And God helped him. It wasn't that he defeated the Philistines and these others. God helped him in the defeat of the Philistines and others. Notice with me, if you would, verse 15. Look what he says. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men. These are ways of shooting arrows and stones and so forth. They made these things up and put them on the walls to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. You've seen these catapults. They pull them back. They'll put a great big old stone on it, and then they let go of the rope, and whew, over it go. That's those inventions. Men made those up. He said they made these engines, these instruments that would throw stones and throw a bunch of arrows at one time. And then he said, and his name spread far abroad. Look at this. For he was marvelously helped. First, it says in verse 7, God helped him. Then it says that God marvelously helped him. I find it amazing, and it's true probably in all of us to a certain extent, at one time or another. But it's amazing how God helps, but man wants to take the credit. God helps us in what we do, but if we're not careful, we allow pride to raise up. We want everybody to say, see what I did. No, Uzziah, God helped you. God marvelously helped you. And John the Baptist, he's along the Jordan River, he's been baptizing. You remember what he said, John 1:27, he it is who cometh after me. And that would be the Lord Jesus Christ himself. John the Baptist was sent to prepare the way of the coming of the Lord. And John says, he it is that coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchets I am not worthy to unloose. He said, I'm not even worthy to get down and take his shoes off or tie them up or whatever. He said, I'm not even worthy to do that. Don't look at me. He said, you know what? He's got to increase. I need to decrease. Don't look to me. Look to the Lord that's coming after me, who is preferred before me. Two things I see here about pride. There's arrogance and pride. Arrogance and pride. Look at Uzziah, what Uzziah says about Uzziah in verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. Isn't it amazing? All that God helped him, marvelously helped him, did things for him, helped him through these times, and then he was lifted up. Arrogance comes in pride. He tried to do what only the priests were supposed to do. He tried to do their job as well as his own. And then I think there was a lack of accountability. Uzziah thought he was it. He didn't have to listen to anybody else and what they said. He just come walking right into the temple and he's going to burn incense. That was not his job. That's not what he was supposed to do. You know what? We all need to be accountable. You got a problem with Bible reading? Say, boy, I get busy and I don't read my Bible and so forth. Then tell somebody that you know. that will be a help to you. They won't go around, did you know so-and-so don't read their Bible like they should? Not those kind of people. But somebody will understand, you know what? Got a problem in that area. How about you being a help to me? Well, how can I be a help to you? Every time you see me, or we're talking on the phone or whatever, ask me, have you read your Bible today? Have you read your Bible this week? You know what that is? That's showing accountability. If I knew that I had to tell somebody every time I seen them whether I read my Bible or not, guess what I'd be doing? I'd be reading my Bible, wouldn't you? Amen. That's being held accountable. You got problems with praying? Talk to somebody, say, you know what? Sometimes I don't pray as I should. Can you help me there? How can I help you? I want to be accountable to you. Every time you see me, you ask, did you pray today? Did you pray this week? Have you been praying? In other words, I know you're going to ask. I want to make sure I do it. That's being held accountable. In whatever area that we need that help in, that's what brothers and sisters of Christ can do. Whatever that might be. Don't have so much pride that you think that you can't tell others. Now, it may not be something you want to tell a bunch of people, but it may be something you need help with. And your pride is not so great that you can't go to somebody and say, I got a problem in that area. Will you be a help to me in meeting that need in my life? The lack of accountability. And then the last thing, the ruined, developed character that comes from the inside. The reason, of course we've seen it primarily, it was pride that caused arrogance. And so then the results. The results. Look at verse 19. Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn the incense while he was wroth with the priest. The leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord and from beside the incense altar. He was in the house of the Lord. He was standing by the incense altar. He had this incense in his hand. He was going to do what only the priests were supposed to do. And when he was standing there, and he was mad at them, he was wroth with them, and he, after all, I'm the king, and all of a sudden, everybody got wide-eyed and crossed his forehead. Leprosy came. He went running out of there. What is leprosy? Well, it's a disease, obviously. It eats away at the skin and so forth and the body. But in the Bible, it's a type of sin. Leprosy is like a type of sin. It takes control of your life. It will destroy the very body that you live in. And so, one of the results was this leprosy. There was sin in his life, and it begins to show outwardly in that life. Secondly, he was quarantined. That word's interesting. Something was said about quarantine. I can't remember what we was talking about. Or it was on TV or something. Something was said. And I looked over and I said, do you know quarantine means 40? The word quarantine comes from a Venetian word, I think, and I don't remember what the Venetian word is, but it means 40. And what they would do is ships would come in, and they were worried about the black plague, so everybody had to stay on the ship and all the cargo on the ship for 40 days to see if the plague broke out on those ships back then. And then after 40 days, they would let in. And the term quarantine, 40, came for that. Of course, you can be quarantined for who knows how many days, but that's the origin of that. But here, the result of this pride, the result of this lack of character, that building of the inside, that lack of fellowship and relationship with God that Uzziah should have, he allowed his exterior to go past his interior, that which he really was. He should have been building that, and he ended up with leprosy, a type in the Bible of sin, and quarantined the rest of his life from God. Look at verse 21 of 2 Chronicles 26. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death. And he dwelt in a several house, being a leper. Look at this. He was cut off from the house of the Lord. He was quarantined for the rest of his life because he was a leper. Thirdly, he was cut off from the house of God. That is, cut off from fellowship, cut off from worship. I got a suspicion that if we were not allowed to meet as churches in the United States of America, all of a sudden everybody be sneaking around trying to have church with one another. Today we're free to have church, and we almost have to beg people to come to church. It's amazing how important it is when you lose what you have. It's one of the problems with America today. We're losing our freedom because we do not respect the fact of that freedom that we have. So the result was he became a leper. He was quarantined. He was cut off from the house of God, from that worship and that fellowship, and he was dishonored in death. Verse 23 said, so Uzziah slept with his fathers. They buried him with his fathers in the field of burial, which belonged to the kings, for they said, he is a leper. You go through cemeteries and you see epitaphs. You get to Uzziah's, and the epithet would have been, Uzziah, the king of Israel, he was a leper. And then somebody says, oh my, he had leprosy? Yes. And then they tell the story, how he went from a king that followed the ways of the Lord and God blessed him, and how he got to the place of pride and destruction in his life. Let me give you five warnings and we'll be done. I'll just read them to you, not say much about them. But let me give you five warnings here tonight, if I may. Number one, beware of the battle from within. His problem was inside. The Bible says of Daniel that he had an excellent spirit. That's an inward thing, not an outward thing. So beware the battle from within. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 says this, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. You want to have virtue and praise, think on these things. Always beware of the battle from within. We get all worried about the battle out there. It's the battle in here that needs to be won. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord. Secondly, a warning, beware when we start to become more interested in building our own kingdom than God's kingdom. That was problem with Uzziah. The kingdom wasn't, Israel wasn't the kingdom of Uzziah. It was God's. So beware when we start becoming more interested in building our own little kingdom, our own little thing out here, than being interested in God's work and God's kingdom and God's will and way. Beware. And then number three, beware when the Lord's help is no longer needed. You'll never get great enough. You'll never have it all figured out to the place where I don't need you anymore, Lord. I've got it. I'll just take care of it. Don't you worry about it. Oh no. Beware when the Lord's help is no longer needed. Always look to the Lord. Number four, beware when reproof and warnings are not heeded. You'll notice in verse 18 of 2 Chronicles 26, Uzziah is trying to burn incense, and they told him, this is for the priests only, it's Aaron's tribe that does this. You're not consecrated to burn the incense. Only they are. And he got mad at them. When somebody corrects you biblically, when somebody's trying to be a help to you, don't get mad. You might need to get sad, but then you can get glad because you're listening to what God has to say. Be careful when reproof and warnings are no longer heeded. You're in trouble. I am in trouble when I do that. And then last of all, beware when consequences of sin no longer bring fear. That's why the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Why? Because I know God can take his hand off. God can allow things into my life that will be hurtful. God can say, all right, if you do this, then we'll just let you alone, let you have your thing. That's what happened to Lot. Talked about him this morning. God just kind of took his hand. Was Lot saved? Well, according to the Bible, he says, Peter said he was righteous, Lot. He wasn't righteous in his own self, not by the way, things I read about him. So he must have been righteous in the fact that he believed, truly believed in God, and God had given his righteousness to him, but he still paid a heavy price. So beware when consequences of sin no longer bring fear. Beware is the title of the message. We've seen the ruin, we've seen the reason, and we've seen the results. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, Isaiah said. Let's bow our heads for prayer. So our heads are bowed and eyes closed tonight. A warning. Take heed. See the flashing lights. Hear the sirens from heaven, what God is saying to us. The great King Uzziah. He was a good king. If you go back and read about him, he did that which is right in the eyes of the Lord. Many things that he did. But then, toward the end of his life, pride came in. He got lifted up of his own self. He did not heed the warnings that was given to us tonight. Maybe in some way God spoke to your heart tonight about yourself, things that you need to pray about. Maybe you've seen these things happening in another person's life. They say they're Christians, they know the Lord. As far as you know, that would be true, and yet you see them walking away from things of God, not building that relationship and that fellowship with God internally. And therefore, things are going to come crashing down. So maybe you have somebody you want to pray for. Maybe there's something or something said that brought to mind that you need to pray about for yourself. We encourage you to take the time and respond to the preaching of God's word, because God blesses that. Father God, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, we look to you, asking Heavenly Father that you truly would speak to our hearts, and that maybe something said tonight from the preaching of your word has encouraged or challenged or dealt with some area of our own personal life, or maybe something that's just touched our heart about another, maybe a loved one, friend, family member, somebody that we've tried to deal with, and Lord, we need to bring them up to you. But Lord, whatever the need is, we know one thing. God, you meet the need when we look to you in prayer. For we ask and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.